Anyways, I want to look at Psalm 37, verse 4. That's where we want to start this morning. Psalm 37, 4. And which is a, Psalm 37 is a very, very comforting psalm. A psalm that says some pretty cool things to us. And I just want to look at one verse there is my theme today, Psalm 37, 4, which says, delight yourself in the Lord, or take delight in the Lord. You notice that there? Take delight in who?
The Lord.
The Lord. Take delight. And then it says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And so this is my text this morning, and my title is as follows, and it's more a thesis than a title, but if you can bear with me, this is where we want to go today, okay? This is my title. Finding God to be our chief source of joy makes the desires of our heart all that much more enjoyable. Okay? I'll say it one more time. Take delight in the Lord. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Finding God to be our chief joy. Chief joy. Our chief source of joy makes the desires of our heart all that much more enjoyable. Pray with me once again. So, Lord, as we come now to your word, we're asking that there would be a release of your spirit, that we would have a real sense about us that we as your sheep have been brought now, or being brought now, to green pastures, as it were, to feed, to find nourishment, nurturing from you in these moments as we look into your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And so, I want to talk about these kinds of things this morning, delighting ourselves in the Lord and the desires of our heart. And this is how I want to begin approaching this, this whole area. As a part of our created makeup, how it is that God made me, how it is that God made you, in this makeup is this desire for adventure. We all have it. And this desire of adventure, I kind of look at it as, you know, that my life is to be something, and is meant to be something, is meant to do something that is unique to me, that is unusual. And not only is it unusual, but it's exciting. This adventure, this desire that I have for adventure, what God has planned for my life, his purpose for me to be and to do. And also, it comes with certain hazards. There's hazards to it. It's hazardous. Every adventure, if it's a genuine adventure, is filled with hazards. Something exciting for sure, something unusual. It makes the adventure all that much more interesting, the twists and turns. Sounds a lot like life, doesn't it? And so we're on this adventure. And as I look at my own life now, of having walked with Jesus since I was a kid, 16, and what it is that this desire for adventure that I felt fill my own life when I came to Christ, I kind of look at it like this, that I've lived my life with a singular quest. And that quest has been, I can narrow it down to three words, four words, to know the Lord. That's been the singular quest of my life, that I've had this thing about me since coming to Jesus, that nothing matters as much in all of life, in all of the adventures that life brings to us and that can bring, and all of my desires, I want to be focused. I want to be funneled. I want the current to be strongest in that I want to know the Lord in my life. And it has included this desire, these desires that I have been, they include this whole life. It's been a lifelong passion. You know, I can say that now, being 60, that I've had this lifelong passion to grow up in Christ, to understand what it means to have a sense of maturity about me in understanding who God is. See, to know the Lord and understand how it is that God has destined me to live, how it is that God reveals himself. Who is God? And, you know, all of those existential questions that we ask ourselves and that are there, whether we realize it or not, who am I? You know, what am I meant for? What's going on in my life? Where am I going in life? All of that. To have a sense about me, an understanding about me of what that means now in Christ and how it is that I am to navigate in life and all of their circumstances so that there's a sense of fidelity in my life, a sense of equilibrium in my life, that my circumstances don't get the best of my life, but that somehow I'm able to ride through the worst of circumstances in my life. Maturity in Christ. And so there's been this passion that I have, this desire. I want my desires to be to come to that kind of, you know, bottleneck in that maturity, growing up in him. And then it's been coupled with this whole idea of I want to bring others along with me in that. And so there's been this life dedication, not only of my life, but of Sandra as well. And my kids have had to journey along in that quest as well, that there is about me, there is about us, this desire that, you know, we want to see all of those things that we come to find in Christ, that we come to find in God, reproduced in other people. And I'm looking at some of those people right now. And for me, that's worth dying for. For us, that's worth giving our lives for. There is no greater desire, and I can speak for Sandra as well, there are no greater desires in our lives than that. There really isn't. Now, has there been some muddying of the water, as it were, with those kinds of desires? Absolutely. Have our wires got crossed? And, you know, have there been times where we had more of a desire for this or for that, and some of those things that I just mentioned got blurred? Ding, 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 ding. Yes. And we've had to often, more than one occasion, I've had to, speaking for myself, because Sandra's more of a saint than I am, find my way back to what really matters and those desires that mean more to me than life itself. And so I want to speak about that. And hopefully all of that will come off in this message as we talk about the title that I read to you and that we'll get into a little bit more. Are you with me this morning? And I think of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and some of you, of course, have seen the movie. Probably fewer of you, if any, have read the books. Anybody read the books? Oh, God bless you. You are so awesome. Thank you, all three of you. And so, which is really cool. I couldn't put the book. I didn't want the book to end. It's like, why does this have to end? It was so exciting, way better than the movie. But anyways, in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, You know, and you've seen the movies, and you know the journey that Frodo is set on and the burden that he must bear to get there. And as he is about to start on his quest as the ring bearer and all that we know is about to happen to him on that journey and all the desires that are fraught with it and the adventure of it all. And Gandalf says to Frodo, something that he reminds him of what Bilbo, who is, you know, the great adventurer who preceded Frodo on his now on his mission. And Gandalf says these words, and some of you will recall them. He says, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step onto the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might be swept off to." I just love that line, just that whole sentence. It kind of captures the whole movie, you know, the whole book, the whole sense of adventure of what's going on there. And my desire in this message this morning, as we look into this word from Psalm 37, and we'll, of course, look at some supporting actors, some supporting scriptures to this text, my desire is to say what I desire, my desires, and you could say your desires, you know, what we want in life, these, and however it is we frame it in the context of that, these things that we feel as our desires, they play a leading role in our lives of reaching what we are meant to be and meant to do. They really do. They're not insignificant, all of them. And they have a determining force about them and therefore their importance in our lives. And we must say, even as I said to you, that there are hazards in this quest, in this journey to reach the desires that we may have in our hearts, you know, our heart's desires. There are hazards. There are dangers in getting, and I'll put it this way, the danger of desires and of getting what I want can be seen in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Remember how it was that the serpent came to Eve and began to try and get her feet. Going back to Gandalf's word to Frodo, you know, you got to keep your feet about you, Frodo. And as he was there and he's attempting to get her off balance, and he succeeds. And the interesting word there, as you look there in Genesis 3:6, is it says that as she looked, she saw that the fruit was what? Desirable. There was something in the enemy's approach to get her off track, see, was to appeal to her what? Her desires. Her desires. And so there's dangers in these things that we have about us, in our own makeup, the desires that you have in your life right now, the desires that I have. There are dangers. Even in the good desires that we have, there are dangers, and we have to recognize them. The devil caught her off balance by approaching her desires. And then in Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Mark 4, 18 and 19. The parable of the sower. Who doesn't know about the parable of the sower? And how it was that you know, the good seed of the Word of God is planted in all of our hearts, and God comes to us, and he's at work in our hearts. And the tragedy, if you call it that, is only one in four survives. Only one in four survive. And we see in this, you know, the one that doesn't make it, the seed that doesn't produce fruit, you know, where the journey is cut short for this person right here, is because their desires get mixed up. Do you realize that? Even as it says here, it says that they have this thing about them, that their desire for other things comes into their lives and chokes out that good thing that God has meant for them to be and meant for them to do. And there is no fruit as a result of it. The desires. It's hazardous. The desires we have. And here's a scary one to me. This is a very scary one Psalm 106 and verse 15. That it's possible, as this verse of Scripture says, I like the way the King James puts this verse of Scripture, Psalm 106 and verse 15. He says, and he gave them their requests. He gave them what they desired of him. God did. They had desires, they brought them those desires before God, and God gave them what they desired. But it says, the King James says, but it sent leanness into their souls. There it is there. Thank you, Todd. It made them skinny. Going after what they wanted, putting aside what God had for their lives, instead of, you know, the thought is, well, if I get what I want, it's going to do something fulfilling for me in my life. It does the very opposite. It makes us skinny. It brings leanness into our souls. You see, so boy, and that's a scary thing for me, and that's a hazard when it comes to this whole area of the desires that we have and the quests that we're on, this adventure that God has put us on. And in my own life, as I have seen and as I have said to you, you know, I've been mixed, and I've gotten dizzy and gotten things mixed up. But as I look at this singular quest that I've had in my own life to focus on delighting myself in the Lord more than anything else in my life. And I don't say that with any kind of, you know, wow, look at me, you know, what an expert I am. I'm the furthest thing from an expert that there is. Furthest thing from an expert. But yet at the same time, I'm true to what I feel within, that I have this about me. Delight yourself in the Lord. That has been my heart's desire. And I see that as a gift. I see it as a gift. This isn't something, oh, by my discipline, you know, by my humility, by my good looks. Come on. You know, that, boy, you know, God has given me this special gift. That's just not right. And I like what, it's a gift, and to say that it's a gift is this. Something that A.W. Tozer says in his book, The Pursuit of God, where he talks about desiring God. He says this, he says, we pursue God because and only because he has first put in us an urge that spurs us to pursue him. And so that God makes available to us, see, to all of us, he draws us. There is this drawing that goes on in all of us. There is this sense about all of us that there is this pull, this gravitational pull that plants us, that keeps our feet about us in life. That the direction of my life, the delight for my life, the focus for my life is the Lord. The Lord. And the wonderful thing about that is, after that comes, and he will what? And he will what? And he will what? Give you the desires of your heart. It almost sounds like Matthew 6:33, doesn't it? What? Seek first the kingdom, and what? All these things will be. Well, I'll tell you, we have to so look at this to help ourselves get centered. Now, I find that the safeguard here for those kinds of things not to happen to us, where Satan gets the best of us, and he's a smart devil. He knows to work on our desires, I'll tell you. He really does. And you know, it's like he works on us so much that we come to the conclusion with our desires. Have you ever felt this way? Unless I get it, I just can't live without it. You know, it's just going to do something for my life that nothing else can possibly do. And that's a lie. It's a lie. Because there is no thing that can do for me what God can do for me. There is no one who can do for me only what God can do for me. That's the way he made me. I work best that way. Now, is it that God is unconcerned about these other things? No. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you your heart's desires. You see? And so, but this is the safeguard. The first part of this verse is the safeguard, to delight ourselves. It helps us to keep our feet about us. When the devil comes, and he's a smart devil, when the desires of other things accumulate so much in our lives that the good things in our lives become choked out by them. And you say, how do you know that the good things, the desires that I have, are beginning to choke out? We pay more attention to them than we do to the things of God. It's as simple as that. And so, when I find myself becoming skinny in God things, I know that something's going on here. And the safeguard is this, the screening process, if you will, to all of my desires is put it through the screening process of, am I delighting myself in the Lord? Am I delighting myself in the Lord? You see, nothing I desire compares to my desires for God. All of those things that God has for my life, there is nothing that can compare to that. Nothing does. And to try and find out if there is anything else is, as we say, chasing what? Rabbit trails, you know? And you end up at the end of one rabbit trail, and there's no rabbit there, you know? And it really does work that way. But when I find in God the satisfaction of all of my desires, for that he is, it makes all of those other things in my heart that I desire all that much more what? Enjoyable. It really does. And so, as sure as the day follows the night, and I'm grateful for the covenant that God has made in creation. Night is coming, and there'll be morning again. As sure as that, our desires will see the light of day because we delight in the Lord. So that's a wonderful thing. Even as I said, as we find our greatest joy and our greatest pleasures in the Lord, how much more enjoyable are those desires that we have in our heart. But I want to tell you what happens when that isn't the case. Once again, it brings skinniness, leanness to our lives. When we find in our things more enjoyment than we do in God himself. Yeah, that's the way life works. That's life. You could have everything and no thing if you have God in your life and you are delighting yourself in him. Now, notice what it says, because the language is very specific. Delight yourself where? In the Lord. You know, God is just, not, you know, he's not my bosom buddy. And if you have ever read the Bible and thought at times that God is not very nice, absolutely. Who do you think God is, Mr. Rogers? He's not. Now, I think he's awfully nice, but I keep that adjective in there. He's awfully nice. He's God. He's the Lord. And in coming to him, I find my life complete. But not only do I find my life complete, I find my life in its right place when I say to him, Jesus is my Lord. Not just my bosom buddy in the sky. Heaven forbid, we call it, you know, the man upstairs. Yuck. He is the Lord. You understand? The Lord. And so I delight myself in the Lord. He has the right of access to my life. He has the right of calling the shots in my life and all the desires of my life. He is the Lord. He's not a despot. He's not a dictator. In this one that I call Lord, I discover him to be my heavenly Father. See? But nevertheless, delight yourself where? In the Lord. And so, you see, and I close with this. I'm looking at my watch. It's not a watch. It's the Lord's Prayer in Portuguese that a friend of mine brought from Brazil. Isn't that cool? But anyways, listen, I close with this, okay? And then a quick story. We have a terrible knack, all of us. All of us. No one is exempt from this. If you're a human being, you have this knack about you. We all have a terrible knack of making lords, or making, you know, small L lords, or gods, if you will, idols of the things we desire. See, that's the danger in the things that we desire, putting them before delighting ourselves in the Lord. Because we do. We have a terrible knack of that. I've seen it in relationships from young people who desire a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or they desire to get married. And I've seen it. I've seen it with couples. And to this day, I'm friends with people who have gotten the desires of their heart and laid down their lives for, you know, a spouse, and they've gotten married. And they've lived their lives, and they live their lives well. But you get this idea, you get this taste, this atmosphere from their lives that their lives together mean more than their individual lives and the relationship with Jesus. And if they had to choose their spouse or Jesus, they would choose their spouse. And that happens with all kinds of things in our lives. But we do. We do have that tendency about us to make idols of, to make gods of those things that we desire. Now listen, when we delight in the Lord, it keeps the desires of our heart in their place. We keep our feet about us under His Lordship. Lord, this is the desire of my heart for these things. What do you say about it? Lord, I submit my life in these areas to you. And the thing that I found, when that kind of passion fills my life for the things that I desire, it then becomes safe for God to give me the desires of my heart, because then He sees they're not going to run in competition with Him. It's as simple as that. You see? When they're not going to run in competition with Him. And so this is what I want. This is what I want. It really is what I want in my life. What do you want in your life? What do you want? And so, many of you have heard of the great philosopher Socrates, and we'll end with this, right? I did it again. I looked at time. I looked at the time on this bracelet. And Socrates, of course, was the great philosopher. And he had many disciples, followed him, rightly so. And there was one who wanted the knowledge that Socrates had to pass on so that he could also become a great philosopher and understand how to live life and how to live it well. And so he approached Socrates I want knowledge. So I want it. I want knowledge. And everything, I just want it. And so Socrates says, okay. He says, what do you want? He says, I want knowledge. And so he takes him down to the river, and it was the custom then. It wasn't just a Christian thing. Some of you may know that the Greek philosophers would baptize their followers. And he brought him down to the river, and they walked into the water. And as they're walking into the water, Socrates questioned him again. Now, what is it that you want? He says, Socrates. He says, I want knowledge. With all of my heart, I want knowledge. And so he took him down and got him down there to the right depth of water. And he says, well, he says, I'm gonna baptize you, and you're going to become one of my disciples. And he says, and I'm going to have a question for you when I bring you back up. He says, okay. So he puts him under and holds him under. He comes up spitting a little water, gasping for some air, and he says, now what is it you want, my son? He says, I want knowledge. He says, oh, I want knowledge. Does it again, comes up, says the same thing, you know, kind of just out of breath yet again. And so he says, what is it, my son? He says, are you sure? He says, oh, he says, with all that is within me, all I want is knowledge. And so he holds him under again. This time, Socrates counts to 200 slowly. When he brings him up, he's blue. He's gasping for air, and he says, what is it you want now, my son? Air, he says. I want air. Give me air. And Socrates says to him, when you want air, he said, when you want knowledge as much as you want air, you'll have it. And so I apply that to the things that we're talking about today. You know, when we want God greater than anything else, to see that's what we need, those other things in our lives, you know, the knowledge things, the desires of our heart, you'll have them. Let's stand together and pray. Delight yourself where?
The Lord.
Delight yourself. That's a hard thing to wrap my head around, delight. What do you think it means to delight?
Ice cream.
You know, yeah, you know, it's like when you're eating your ice cream, don't bother me. You know, and don't touch, no, you can't have a lick. You know. But what does it mean, you know, delight? What does it mean? Find all your pleasure in? You know? Delight yourself in the Lord. He's my chief joy. That's the way I look at it. The thing that makes you happy. The thing that makes you happy. See, we think things make us happy. Things make us happy temporarily. And so, Lord, I commit this word to you and your people to you. Lord, as I speak this word, you know what's going on in my own heart. That I, along with everyone else in this room, am hearing your Spirit speaking these words. So help us, Father, to delight ourselves in the Lord, that we might know you as the chief source of our joy. All of those good things that you desire to give us, that we might enjoy them indeed. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Hey, don't rush right out. God bless you.